from the tower, then another, crushing the bridge in front of her. Ping was frozen in indecision. She couldn't turn and save herself until she had found Kai. She tried to focus her second sight to find the invisible thread that led to the little dragon. She felt the rush of air as another stone fell just in front of her. Sharp claws dug into her skin as the dragon leapt into her arms. Ping held him close, then turned and ran. The wind carried the sound of anxious, frightened voices. Guttering torches were making their way up the hill. The light of the flames revealed spears, shields, and red leather tunics. The lightning strike had roused the guards at last. Captains shouted orders. Their words were sharp and harsh, but with tremors of fear and confusion. Liu Che appeared on the edge of the lake, his hair hanging in wet strings, a padded coat thrown roughly over his shoulders. He was still in his nightshirt. Servants tried to shelter him from the rain with a silk umbrella, but the wind tore the fragile fabric to tatters. Ping tried to go to him, but the guards pushed her back. Dong Fang Swore came puffing up behind the emperor. It was the first time Ping had seen him without his ministerial cap. He had a round, bald patch on the top of his head. The stones had stopped falling. The lightning was becoming less frequent. The thunderclaps lagged behind. Finally, the lightning stopped, and the angry roar of the thunder faded to an irritable rumble. The touching heaven tower no longer reached up to heaven. Where the lofty tower had stood, there was nothing but a pile of stones and smoldering rafters. The golden statue of the immortal lay face down in the rubble. The jade dish was smashed to pieces. A pale light beneath the heavy clouds faintly outlined the eastern horizon. It was almost dawn. There would be no star dew for the emperor to drink that morning. Chapter 16. The Bamboo Books. Ping waited outside the door of the Chamber of Spreading Clouds. At last she had been summoned by the emperor and could tell him about the necromancer. Guards stood stiff and stern-faced on either side of the door. Inside the chamber, the emperor was meeting with his shaman and seers. They had been shut in there for hours. As far as Ping could see, Liu Che didn't need seers to explain the fall of the tower. There was only one way to account for it. Heaven was not happy with the emperor. He had built a tower to reach up to the dwelling place of the immortals, and they had used their heavenly power to smash it down. How could it be anything but a bad omen? To make matters worse, Kai was unwell. Ping thought this was the result of eating 10 and 4 roast swallows at the banquet the night before, but she didn't trust her second sight anymore. It had let her down. Perhaps the storm had weakened it, but she couldn't be sure. The fact remained that for the first time, Kai hadn't eaten his breakfast, and he had refused to get out of bed. A sick dragon was another bad omen for the emperor. Eventually, the shaman and seers filed out of the chamber with grim faces. The guards led Ping in. Liu Che sat with his arms folded across his chest and a scowl on his face. His hair was now arranged in a neat knot, and he was wearing a yellow gown with a pattern of black spirals embroidered round the hem and cuffs. He didn't smile when Ping knelt before him. "How is Kai?" he asked. "He has an upset stomach," Ping tried to sound confident. "I'm sure there's nothing to be worried about." Her reassurances didn't remove the creases from the emperor's brow. I will send for the imperial physician at Chang'an, he said. He may have suggestions for how to treat Kai. I don't think that will be necessary, Ping said. I'm more concerned about his safety than his health. What do you mean? Kai is safe here at Mingyang Lodge. That's what I believed. She paused before she continued. Last night, I saw the necromancer. The Emperor looked surprised. Ping wasn't sure he understood who she was talking about. The man who tried to kill me on Tai Shan. He tried to take Kai.
You saw him?
The Emperor stammered.
Where?
Ping didn't answer immediately. No one had seen her creeping around the night before. She could easily have lied and said she'd seen him in a different part of the lodge. But she didn't think it wise to risk offending heaven any further by lying. He was in the hall of peaceful retreat. Yu Che glared at her. When was this? Ping couldn't look him in the eye. Perhaps 3 hours past midnight? The Emperor drew his mouth into a thin line. You have exceptional freedom here at Mingyang Lodge, Ping. But it seems you are determined to try my patience by sneaking into the few places you are forbidden to enter. I'm sorry. Ping bowed her head to the floor. I didn't mean to disobey your Imperial Majesty.
So you accidentally stumbled into the Hall of Peaceful Retreat in the middle of the night?
No, but I didn't set out to go there. That's where my feet led me. I didn't realize it then, but my second sight was drawing me there.
The Emperor stood up. Ping could feel him towering over her.
I know I deserve punishment, but the necromancer was here in the lodge. He tried to take Kai. He must have been spying on us. It would be easy for him. He's a shape changer. She expected the Emperor to call for the captain of the guards immediately, but he didn't.
Why were you at the tower last night, Ping?
He asked in a calm, cold voice. I don't know. I wanted to get as far away from the necromancer as possible. Kai ran up to the Garden of Secluded Harmony. I followed him. The Emperor didn't seem to understand the urgency of the situation. The necromancer thinks Kai belongs to him, Ping persisted. He must be captured. Ping could see Liu Che's thoughts were going in a different direction.
You were there when the tower fell?
Yes, I saw the lightning strike the tower as surely as if it was aimed straight at it. The Emperor was silent. It's unfortunate about the tower, Ping said. But you must think about Kai. He has to be protected. The necromancer could still be in the gardens. The Emperor nodded slowly. Ping didn't see him make a sign, but the captain stepped forward nonetheless. Ping was expecting Liu Che to order the captain to set guards outside the dragon quarters, or to conduct a search of the grounds. He didn't do either.
Bring me the guard who was supposed to be on duty outside the Hall of Peaceful Retreat last night, he said.
The captain hurried out. What did you do in the Longevity Council's chambers, Ping? I looked at the dragon-keeping books, Ping said, fiddling nervously with her purple ribbon of office.
I suppose your hands just happened to rest on them.
I want to know all there is to know about dragon keeping, Ping replied, so that I can properly fulfill the role your Imperial Majesty has given me.
Books are to be read by scholars, not just anyone. Ping sat back on her heels and looked the emperor in the eye. I'm not just anyone. I am the imperial dragon keeper. Ping saw anger flash in his eyes, but his mouth remained clamped tight. I am not trying to keep the contents of the books from you, Ping. His tone changed. He was trying to sound friendly, but his anger was still there, like soup simmering in a lidded pot. You haven't learned enough characters to be able to read a book yet. I thought I might be able to gain a little knowledge from them. A little knowledge is dangerous, the emperor said. I planned to give them to you when you were able to read them. I thought that Princess Yang Xin would go through the books with you. But you offended my sister. I didn't mean to upset the princess. You don't mean to do a lot of things, Ping, but somehow you end up doing them. I'm truly sorry I've added to your worries, but I was concerned about Kai. I wanted to learn more about raising a young dragon. The young emperor was silent for a while. Then he nodded. I will send the books to the dragon quarters, Ping, and I will ask Dongfang Suo if there is someone we can spare to help you read them.
You are most kind, Your Imperial Majesty.
I have more urgent concerns than a disobedient dragon keeper, he said. I'm sure I don't have to tell you how the seers interpreted the collapse of the tower. The harmony of the universe has been disrupted. I have to meet with my ministers to work out what has offended heaven so.
Kai was asleep when Ping returned to their chambers. He still wasn't well. His scales were dull, his spines were drooping. Three servants were hovering about the bed.
You can go, she said. I'll take care of him. They left willingly. No one wanted to be associated with a sick dragon. If his condition worsened, they would be to blame. Kai looked small and helpless in the big bed. She hoped she was right, and he had nothing more than a case of overeating. He woke around midday, but though the dragon cook had brought an enticing platter of roasted cicadas, stewed worms, and sparrow soup, the dragon ate little. He lay on his back, with his feet in the air, so that Ping could rub his stomach. There was a knock at the door, and a servant let in one of the junior imperial ministers, who had been taking turns to teach Ping her characters. He was carrying the box of bamboo books. The ministers have finished with them, he said. They say you are permitted to read them. The junior minister began reading the dragon books to Ping. She tried to follow the characters, but his finger flew down the columns, and she couldn't keep up. The first book was a list of all the dragon keepers for 3 times 100 years. There were 2x10 and 3 names. The minister read them all out to Ping. They were all males. Ping's name wasn't on the list. Neither was Master Lan's. The last name was Lao Lan, who was Master Lan's father. Some of the dragon keepers had very short terms of office, Ping said. What happened to them? Some were old when they took up the position, the minister explained. One died when he fell from the back of a flying dragon. One was executed for allowing a dragon to bite a prince. One died in some sort of accident. Ping couldn't help thinking that dragon keeping was a very precarious profession. There were 12 dragons then, the minister said. Being a dragon was far more dangerous. So many dragons had died. It brought tears to Ping's eyes. Ping didn't see Liu Qi the next day. He ate in his chambers and was busy with his ministers behind closed doors. In the afternoon, the junior minister came and continued to read from the bamboo books. He read out events that were recorded during each emperor's reign. When Emperor Shen Jing died, the red dragon dropped a pearl from its mouth. Rays of sunlight shone on him, and green clouds floated in the sky. Ping didn't understand the significance of green clouds. Neither did the junior minister. After Emperor Nan had reigned for 19 years, there were floods. Wild dragons were seen outside the city. Ping wanted to know what happened to the pearl and the wild dragons, but there was no more detail. Each entry was very short. In the first year of the reign of Emperor Gao, the dragons flourished and were happy. In the spring of Emperor Zhen Ding's fifth year, the dragons fought in the Pool of Wei. The entry stopped when Liu Qi's grandfather took the throne. The junior minister fingered the frayed ends of the string binding the strips together. The last strip is missing. It must have fallen off over the years. Does it say anything about how dragon keepers were chosen? Ping asked. The minister scanned through another book. It says that dragon keepers are always drawn from the same families, the Huan or the Yu. I wonder how Master Lan's father came to be dragon keeper. The minister read further. According to this, his was just a temporary position as feeder of the dragons until a new dragon keeper was appointed. Was there a new appointment? No. That's the last entry. Does it say where the dragon-keeping families lived? The dragon-keeper before Lao Lan was Yu Chenggong. It says he came from the village of Lulin, near the city of Mang. The Huans have not been dragon-keepers for many generations. The last Huan-keeper lived east of the mountains and west of the River Hong, in the village of Shuxin. The minister looked up from the book. Your name should be added to the list. What is your family name? I don't know, said Ping. It must be either Yu or Huan. Dunsa had told her that dragon keepers had only ever come from the same two families. But it had never occurred to her that she must belong to one of them. Was the last Yu on the list one of her ancestors? The thought echoed in her mind. It was some time before she could concentrate on what the minister was saying again. Ping didn't learn much from the bamboo books. She had hoped they would fill in all the gaps in her dragon knowledge. Instead, they had only left her with more questions. There were no remedies for sick dragons. In the end, she remembered that Dunsa had found a drink of arsenic very beneficial to his health. She went to the imperial herbalist and asked if he had any. He gave her 3 small steel-gray crystals. She dissolved them in water, taking great care not to get any of the mixture on her hands. Arsenic was poisonous to humans, but Kai slurped up the draught with pleasure. As she sat in the last of the afternoon sun that streamed through the latticed windows of the dragon quarters, Ping thought that she probably had all the knowledge she needed to keep Kai happy and healthy. Perhaps her head actually contained more information about dragons than any book in the empire. Reading the bamboo books had left her with only two questions that she wanted to know the answer to. Was her name Yu or Huan? And where was her family now? Chapter 17, Plans and Deceptions. A week after the fall of the tower, Ping found herself standing in the largest and most lavishly decorated chamber she had ever seen. The Emperor had sent for her, but the Imperial Guard didn't take her to the Chamber of Spreading Clouds. Instead, he led her to the Emperor's quarters. It was the first time she had been in Liu Cher's private chambers. One wall was entirely made up of latticework shutters. The sunlight from outside shone through them, making a bright pattern of lotus flowers on the bamboo matting. Through an open door, Ping could see out onto a wide balcony where Liu Cher was reclining on a couch. Dongfang Suo was speaking to him, twisting his ribbons of office anxiously.
"But I think it is unwise to send another boat to search for the Isle of the Blessed," the Imperial magician said. "The wreckage of the first boat was washed ashore last week. Good men died."
"Build a bigger boat," the Emperor said. "I have also heard about the fungus of everlasting life that can be found in the mountains beyond the western border of the Empire. Arrange an expedition, Dong."
The Imperial magician looked unhappy, but raised no objections.
"Whatever your Imperial Majesty commands."
The Emperor noticed Ping standing in the doorway.
"How is Kai?" he called out cheerfully. "I haven't seen him out in the gardens."
Ping bowed to the Emperor.
"He is fully recovered, Your Imperial Majesty," she replied. "I just wanted to keep an eye on him indoors for a day or two. He can go out again tomorrow."
"I'm very pleased to hear that," Liu Cher said. "Come out onto the balcony so that I don't have to shout."
The balcony was as wide and long as three houses put together. It jutted out from the building and seemed to hang in the air high above the gardens. Ping didn't want to go out onto the balcony. It wasn't the height that bothered her. She had spent much of her life on top of mountains. It was the flimsy structure that concerned her. She was worried it would collapse and sent her plunging down the hillside. Liu Cher laughed at her reluctance.
"It's perfectly safe," he said, getting up and walking over to the scarlet-painted balustrade, which to Ping's eyes appeared to be made of nothing more than thin sticks arranged in a geometric pattern.
"The balcony is held up by strong beams resting on posts made of tree trunks that I couldn't reach around, Ping," the Emperor said. "It would support a team of oxen." Ping felt a sudden pain in her stomach, but it wasn't because of her fear of the balcony.
"The necromancer," she whispered. "I can feel him. He's somewhere near."
"I know," the Emperor said with a smile.
Ping stared at the Emperor. "The Imperial Guards have captured him," he said. Ping didn't speak.
"That's why I summoned you," Liu Cher said. "I thought you'd be overjoyed."
I am pleased, very pleased," Ping stammered. "I'm just surprised he was caught so easily."
"Why?" "You don't have a very high opinion of my guards if you think they can't capture one man who pretends to have magical powers."
Ping's experience with the necromancer had convinced her that his powers were very real.
"Where is he? Can I see him?"
"Yes," Liu Cher said, "but only if you're quick. He is about to be transported to Chang'an."
The Emperor laughed at her confusion
and pointed down over the balustrade. Ping stepped onto the balcony as if it were made of eggshell. She grabbed hold of the scarlet rail and looked down. A waterfall tinkled cheerfully beside the balcony on its way to a pool far below. But Ping wasn't admiring the view. In the courtyard next to the pool, a man wearing a cloak was being led from the stables in chains. As the guards pushed him roughly into a wagon, the same one that had brought her to Mingyang Lodge, he turned and looked up. Ping saw the necromancer's tattooed face. She clutched her stomach. The guards tied the leather cover over him. The captain shouted an order, and the driver flicked the ox with his whip. The wagon rattled off, escorted by 10 imperial guards. The sight didn't give Ping as much pleasure as she thought it would. When Ping entered the Hall of Cool Fragrance for the midday meal, the Emperor was looking very pleased. "The seers have decided what I must do to appease heaven," he said excitedly as she bowed and took her place. "I am to hold a special festival. Shamans will build a mound made of earth of 5 colors. 5 fires of thornwood branches and fern stalks will be erected on top. Water buffalo, goats, and pigs will be sacrificed. I will kneel before heaven on a mat made from holy plants. White pheasants will be released. Afterwards, there will be a feast with music and songs of praise. I will invite the landowners and imperial administrators from nearby. All the villages within a day's march will receive meat and wine so that my subjects can take part in the festivities and show heaven that they are happy with my reign. Isn't that right, Dong?" He turned to the imperial magician who was sitting on his other side.
"That is correct, Your Imperial Majesty," Dong Fang Suo replied. "Incense will carry our prayers to heaven. Kai must take part too, so that heaven can see how happy the dragon is."
Yu Che nodded enthusiastically. "My dragon is well, the necromancer is captured, and after the festival, all will be put to rights. I'm sure that heaven will realize that you are a good and wise ruler," Ping replied. The servants brought out the meal. Usually, after she had experienced a foreboding, Ping had no appetite. The Emperor's happy mood was infectious, though, and the pleasant smells of boiled quail and fried fish with sour sauce made her mouth water. She allowed the serving maid to fill her bowl. Since he was in a good mood, Ping felt bold enough to tell Yu Che about a plan of her own. "We've been reading about the old dragon-keeping families," Ping told Yu Che. The Emperor's servant brought him a single crane's egg. He turned it over with his chopsticks. "I would like to find out if they still exist," Ping continued. "If something happens to me, you will need to know where to find another dragon-keeper."
"I am sure heaven will grant you a long life," the Emperor replied.
"Even if that's the case, you will still need to find a new dragon keeper one day. Kai will need many dragon keepers throughout his long life. I think we should search for the old dragon-keeping families and find out if they have died out. If I could just go to the villages of Lu Lin and Xiu Xin." The Emperor didn't seem at all interested in the subject. His egg lay untouched in his bowl. "Ping, you shouldn't bother His Imperial Majesty while he is eating," Dong Fang Suo said. The servants brought out the next course. Ripe persimmons and tea scented with the flowers of the sweet olive tree were placed in front of Ping. They gave the Emperor 3 slices of peach
and a cup of cloudy water.
It is important that you digest your food carefully, Your Imperial Majesty, Dong Fang Swore continued. Only then will you get the full benefit of the diet the Longevity Council has devised for you.
Liu Che ate one peach slice. Ping could see that his good mood had evaporated. The Longevity Council's diet was so meager, it was no wonder the Emperor was irritable. She would have to be patient and wait until the Emperor was in a more receptive mood. A minister approached the Emperor. He was thin, straight, and had a serious little mouth. His gown fell in neat folds, as if each one had been carefully arranged. Even though it was late in the day, not a wisp of hair had escaped from under his ministerial cap. He knelt down in one graceful movement and bowed before the Emperor.
I have received another letter from the Grand Councillor, Your Imperial Majesty, the minister said. He urgently requests that you return to Chang'an immediately to attend to the government of the Empire.
The Emperor waved the minister away irritably. The Empire can wait until after my festival.
The minister didn't move. Liu Che turned towards Ping. There was a sly glint in his eye.
Perhaps you are right, Ping, he said in a voice loud enough for the minister to hear. It is wise to prepare for all possibilities. Eventually the day will come when I will need a new dragon keeper.
Ping was delighted. He looked at the minister who was still kneeling in front of him.
Minister Ji, you can conduct the search. Ping wants to find out if the old dragon-keeping families still exist. Where did you say they are to be found?
Ping's smile faded.
Lu Lin and Xiu Xin, Your Imperial Majesty.
But I don't need to go myself to achieve that, Your Imperial Majesty, Minister Ji said. I can write to the sub-prefect. A messenger can deliver a letter in less time than it will take for me to travel there in a carriage.
I think a personal visit would be more appropriate, Minister Ji.
Liu Che smiled, like someone who had outwitted his opponent in a game of checkers. Ping tried to look pleased.
After the meal, Ping went for a walk. It was her favorite time for walking in the gardens. Everyone else rested after the midday meal, so she had the gardens to herself. Kai didn't feel like an afternoon nap either. He scampered back and forth along the path. For once, he wasn't misbehaving. It was good to see him back in full health. The dragon attendant yawned as he trailed after Kai. He wouldn't rest unless Kai did.
Ping felt guilty. It wasn't right to be deceitful. Not to anybody. Especially not to the Emperor. She hadn't entirely told him the truth. She did think it would be a good idea to know where to find another dragon keeper. But like the Emperor, she didn't expect they would need one for many years. There was another reason why she had wanted to search for the dragon-keeping families. She had hoped to find her own family. Somewhere in the Empire were her parents, who had sold her as a slave. She might have brothers and sisters. She wanted to meet them. Would they want to meet her? She watched Kai enjoying himself. He was chasing something. It was only an insect, but he stalked it as if it were a tiger. He crouched low, ready to pounce. Then he raised his head and bared his teeth. That didn't seem to be the right position for pouncing. He raised his behind and lowered his head instead. Ping laughed. A movement in a nearby bush caught her eye. She thought it might be a rabbit or a lizard, but it wasn't.
It was a rat.
Hua! Ping exclaimed. She glanced at Saggy Pants, who was now dozing on a stone bench. You should be in your cage. If anyone sees you, there'll be trouble.
She picked him up and nestled him in the crook of her arm. She stroked his warm fur, which looked beautiful in the autumn sun. The rat wriggled out of her grasp and went back into the bush. When he re-emerged, he had something in his mouth. It was a bamboo strip, the same one he'd had when he frightened the princess. He laid the strip in Ping's lap. She picked it up and studied the characters. Even though she had now learned almost twice 100 characters, she still could only read 5 of the characters on the bamboo strip. Not enough to make any sense of it.
I don't know what it says, Hua, Ping said, a little annoyed with him for giving her the bamboo strip, which only proved how little she'd learned.
Kai wriggled his behind. He was about to pounce. Hua suddenly lost interest in the bamboo strip. He ran over to Kai and snatched up the insect that the little dragon had been chasing. Kai made disappointed sounds.
Hua, Ping said sharply. Kai was playing with that.
It was only then that she saw what Hua had trapped between his teeth. It was a centipede. She jumped to her feet and scooped the dragon into her arms. Hua crunched the centipede and swallowed it. Ping held the dragon tightly, even though his spine stuck into her. She turned angrily to the dragon attendant.
Saggy Pants, Xiao Zhong, you're supposed to be watching Kai.
The dragon attendant woke with a start.
I'm sorry, madam, he stammered. I told you to keep an eye out for centipedes, Ping said.
You mentioned iron, 5-colored thread, and the leaves of the chinaberry tree, but you said nothing about centipedes. The dragon attendant's bottom lip started to tremble.
I thought the little fellow ate all creepy crawly things.
No, centipedes are very dangerous. If they crawl inside the dragon's ear, they'll eat his brain. As soon as she had said it, Ping thought it sounded rather ridiculous. The dancer had been terrified of centipedes, so she wasn't prepared to take the chance. Ping looked around for Hua, sorry that she had snapped at him. She could ask the junior minister to read the strip for her. But the rat was nowhere to be seen. He had disappeared and taken the bamboo strip with him. Chapter 18. First Frost. The first frost had left the ground white and crunchy. Autumn had been in no hurry to leave, but winter had finally arrived. Kai had refused to get out of bed to go for a walk before breakfast. The colder weather didn't keep Ping indoors. She liked the quiet stillness of the garden in the early morning. She saw Liu Che alone in a small pavilion in a secluded part of the garden. He was wearing a padded coat over his gown, but he looked thin and cold. He was scratching his arms inside his sleeve. When she got up close, she could see that his face was greyish, and he smelt as if he had vomited.
"What's wrong, Liu Che?" Ping said. "Shall I fetch a physician?"
"I'm not ill," he said. His breathing was labored. "I've just eaten my daily portion of wolfsbane." Ping knew of the plant.
"But that's poisonous."
"I've been advised to eat small amounts," Liu Che replied. "It is known to prolong life. There are just a few side effects, a little nausea, an itchy rash." He scratched his neck and then his lower leg.
"You weren't at the evening banquet last night, Your Imperial Majesty," Ping said.
"I wasn't hungry," It's too cold for you to be sitting outside if you're unwell, Ping said.
Out here as the day dawns is the only time I get a few minutes alone.
You seem troubled. Liu Che sighed.
I have a lot of things on my mind at the moment, Ping. Every detail of the festival must be correct so that heaven isn't further offended.
But your ministers and shamans should take care of that.
They seem unable to make the smallest decision without consulting me. I have to tell them how many white pheasants are required, how high the sacrificial mound should be, what sort of grasses the holy mats should be made of. It takes me away from my longevity regime, which is much more important.
I wish I could help.
There are some things that only I can do.
He shivered.
Ping thought about running to get a rug for him. The seers are anxious that I discover exactly what has offended heaven. I can't think what it is. I have reduced taxes, enlarged the school my father set up. I have defended the empire's borders. I have done nothing wrong.
You're a good emperor, Liu Che.
Two servants came hurrying up the path. The emperor sighed. My hiding place has been discovered. The servants sank to their knees and bowed.
Your Imperial Majesty, one said, the Longevity Council wishes to report on their experimentation with frogs.
And Minister G wishes to see you, said the other.
Has Minister G returned already? Asked Ping.
It was only 2 weeks since she had proposed a search for the dragon-keeping families. Before the emperor could answer, Minister G came striding towards the pavilion. Liu Che closed his eyes as if he wished he were somewhere else.
I arrived back at Mingyang Lodge after midnight, the minister said, and I have been up all night writing my report.
The minister's gown was as neat and clean as always. His ribbons of office were uncreased. He didn't look like someone who had been up all night after a long journey. Tell Ping your findings, Minister G. I have more urgent matters to consider. The minister reluctantly held up the scroll to Ping. Her face flushed despite the cold air.
Ping can't read, the emperor said.
Liu Che looked off into the distance again, as if the contents of Minister G's report didn't interest him in the slightest. The minister unrolled the silk scroll and started to read. Ping held her breath.
On the first day of the third week of the second last month of the first year of the reign of the Emperor Wu, we departed from Mingyang Lodge. We spent the first night at the Su Cheng garrison. On the second day...
I don't need to know the details, Ping said impatiently.
Minister G glared at her and rolled up his scroll again. I called on the sub-prefect for the district of Nanyang, he said. Both Xiu Xin and Lu Lin are in this district. It seems likely that the Yu and Huan families are related in some way. Perhaps they are both descended from an original ancient dragon-keeping family who... Did you find the dragon-keeping family? Minister G looked at the emperor as if he thought it was below his dignity to be talking to Ping. The emperor didn't notice. The sub-prefect informed me that Xiu Xin was destroyed by floods some years ago. He is not aware of a Huan family under his administration. The minister continued in a voice that could have frozen a pond. Fortunately, the third assistant sub-prefect was in the room at the time. He was born in Xiu Xin, and he remembered a family of Huans from his childhood.
Ping's heartbeat suddenly increased,
as if she'd just run to Li without stopping.
But he said that Mr. Huan died before the floods, and Mrs. Huan left the village with her two children. No one heard from her again. She was very poor, and there was a rumor that they had died from disease.
Ping's heart sank.
What about the Yu family? She asked. The sub-prefect informed me that there is a family by the name of Yu living in Lulin, the minister replied.
Ping's heart started racing again.
Mr. Yu is currently in the business of raising silkworms.
Does he have children? Ping asked.
The sub-prefect mentioned many daughters.
I wasn't expecting to find another female dragon keeper, Ping said, smiling at the minister.
The minister didn't smile back. No, I understand we are looking for a proper dragon keeper this time, he said sharply.
A male one.
The emperor turned towards Minister Ji. Were there any sons? The emperor asked.
He had been listening, after all.
I believe the sub-prefect referred to one son.
Was he left-handed? Ping asked. Did he seem like a possible dragon keeper?
I had no orders to question the sub-prefect or speak to any of the family members, the minister replied curtly.
Ping turned to the emperor. We must find out more about this family.
After the festival, Ping.
I could go and interview the Yu family. If I can't help with the festival preparations, I can do this.
The minister opened his mouth to object.
Kai would enjoy the journey.
The emperor frowned. Kai cannot leave the lodge. He has to rehearse his part in the festival.
It would be good for him to see some of the empire, Ping insisted. There is herb lore he has to learn. He can practice his shape changing.
He must get used to the drums and gongs so that he isn't startled by them at the festival.
If there is a boy in the Yu family, as Minister Ji says, Kai's reaction to him will be important.
Is that so?
Yes. Ping sensed that the emperor's resolve was wavering. It's in the books.
The lie tumbled easily out of her mouth.
A young dragon recognizes a potential dragon keeper. Dung Fang Suo came panting up the path, blasts of white vapor issuing from his mouth like a steaming kettle. He made an attempt at a bow, which involved no more than a brief bend at the knees. An administrator was behind the imperial magician with a pile of goatskin scrolls.
The seers are awaiting your response, Your Imperial Majesty. They must have an answer today. And your new robes need to be fitted. And what do you want? The emperor snapped at the administrator. These documents need your approval and your seal before they can be sent to Chang'an, Your Imperial Majesty. And the emissary from Yan has been waiting for an audience for 3 days. He is getting very angry.
It is impossible to get a moment's peace. There is always someone making demands on me. Dung Fang Suo made another feeble attempt at a bow. Remember what the Longevity Council said about taking calm, shallow breaths.
Silence! The emperor's voice rang out over the garden. He stood up and everyone fell to their knees. Dung, you go to Lulin to interview the Yu family.
Oh, but the festival is only 3 weeks away, the imperial magician complained.
If Dung Fang Suo is too busy, I should go, Ping interrupted.
You can both go. Take Kai. Just make sure he returns in time for the festival. Maybe now I'll get some peace.
Whatever your Imperial Majesty commands, Dung Fang Suo said.
The Emperor strode off down the path, knocking the scrolls from the kneeling administrator's hands onto a garden bed. Ping knew she should have been sorry that she had contributed to the Emperor's frustration. She should have felt guilty for lying to the Emperor as well. But she couldn't stop a smile from creeping across her face. That afternoon, Lady Arne came looking for Ping in the gardens. "Princess Yang Xin has heard that you are going on a journey," she said. "She has asked me to help you choose some warmer clothes." "But this gown is warm enough." Ping looked down at the new gown she was wearing. "Your gown is suitable only for the lodge," Lady Arne said. "You will need a thicker gown for traveling. Follow me." It was the first time Ping had spoken to Lady Arne since the incident with Hua in the princess's chambers. "How is Princess Yang Xin?" Ping asked.
"The princess is well enough," Lady Arne replied.
Her voice was full of concern, and Ping had the feeling that by well enough, she meant unhappy. She took Ping to a dressing room that was small by the standards of the lodge, but still big enough to house a family of 10 and 2. Around the walls, there were many chests and baskets. On one wall was a large bronze mirror with a border of painted spotted leopards. At the other end of the room, there was a black lacquered screen, decorated with swirling red patterns, supported on delicate gold feet shaped like dragons. Lady Arne laid out a choice of gowns. The rich colors and embroidery glowed in the afternoon sun filtering through the lattice windows.
"I don't want to wear anything fancy," Ping said.
"This is the plainest," said Lady Arne. She held up a gown, and Ping fingered the cloth.
"But this gown is thinner than the one I'm wearing."
"The thread is finer and tightly woven," Lady Arne said. "It will be much warmer." The cloth was dark red and had a diamond pattern woven through it in green. Around the neck and cuffs, the gown was trimmed with silk, the same shade of green as the pattern. Ping took off her own gown. Lady Arne was shocked to see all the scratches and scars on her arms.
"Has someone been beating you?" she asked.
Ping laughed. "No, these are just Kai's scratches." She turned away so that Lady Arne couldn't see the larger scar where she had bled herself to feed the dragon. Lady Arne went to one of the baskets and returned with a jar of balm.
"This will soothe and heal them," she said.
"They don't hurt that much," Ping assured her. But Lady Arne insisted that she rub the balm into her scratched skin.
"You will need something else to wear underneath the gown in the cold weather," she said.
"I've lived through many cold winters with only a threadbare jacket and trousers," Ping said. Lady Arne handed her a thick padded undergarment, which was made of silk floss, sewn between 2 layers of cloth. Ping tried on the gown and the undergarment. They both fitted well. She looked into the dim corners of the room. She couldn't shake the feeling that she was being watched. Lady Arne also gave her an embroidered silk pouch, a pair of silk mittens, and a coat to wear over the gown when it got very cold. Finally, she gave her a new length of purple ribbon.
"This is for your imperial seal," she said.
Ping tied her imperial dragon keeper seal to her belt with the ribbon and looked at her image in the mirror. Only the ministers, the imperial magician, and the seers wore seals of imperial office. Though she was the highest-ranking imperial servant in the lodge, Lady Arne didn't have one. Ping ran her hands over her new warm gown. As far as she knew,
She was the only female in the entire empire who wore an imperial seal. Lady Arne opened one of the smaller boxes that was full of hair ornaments and took out a silver comb. From a basket of cosmetics, she took a jar of sweet-smelling oil. She combed the oil through Ping's hair, showed her how to hold her hair in place with the silver comb, and gave her the jar of oil. Ping looked at her reflection in the bronze mirror again. She hardly recognized herself. "Would you like some jewelry?" asked Lady Arne, opening a casket of bracelets and necklaces. Ping shook her head. "I already look very grand," she said. "Shouldn't I look more simple if I'm visiting peasant villages?" "You are the Emperor's representative. You must dress in the correct way. And you have picked the plainest garment in the whole of Mingyang Lodge, Ping," Lady Arne replied with a smile. Ping regarded her reflection, hoping that she could keep the gown clean and uncreased and her hair tidy. She didn't hear a sound, but she became aware that someone else was in the room. She turned to find Princess Yang Xin standing next to the screen. "You are going beyond the walls of Mingyang Lodge," the princess said. "I envy you." Ping bowed. "Perhaps the emperor will permit you to come with me." "He won't. I am an embarrassment to my family. I have to stay confined here at Mingyang." Ping looked up at the princess. "Take care, Ping." The princess turned and left the room with a rustle of silk. Chapter 19. Beyond the Walls. Now that the necromancer was imprisoned, Ping was looking forward to traveling beyond the walls of the Garden of the Purple Dragon again. She would have preferred to go alone with Kai, so they could walk along quiet country paths and she could teach him the names of birds and the uses of plants. But the emperor wouldn't hear of his dragon, the last imperial dragon, walking unprotected around the countryside. Besides, the weather had turned bitterly cold. The journey didn't take long to arrange. 2 days later, Ping, Kai, and Dongfang Swore were ready to leave. Since they would be staying at inns, Ping had no need to take her cooking utensils. She put her mirror, comb, and jar of oil in her new silk pouch, along with one gold coin and a few copper cash in case she wanted to buy anything along the way. She tucked Dunce's scale and a piece of dragonstone shard in an inner pocket of the pouch, not wishing to be separated from these keepsakes. A carriage was waiting for them in the courtyard at dawn. It wasn't a rough wagon like the one she had arrived in, but a fine, imperial yellow carriage with the emperor's symbols of a blue crane and a red bat painted on the sides, a canopy to keep off the rain, and shutters that could be closed if it was windy. Inside were cushioned benches and rugs. Kai had been excited about the trip until he saw the carriage and the large tan horse that was to pull it. Then he ran and hid in the stables. It didn't take Ping long to find him. She could see his tail sticking out from under a pile of straw. "It won't be like when we're in the wagon, Kai," Ping explained as she tried to lift him into the carriage. He wrapped his front legs around one of the wheel spokes. "Don't like wagon. We won't be locked in. You'll be able to get out and run around," Ping said. "And Saggy Pants has packed a special box of food just for you." "Saggy Pants coming?" Kai asked. Though the dragon attendant spent all his time running around tending to the dragon's smallest need, he wasn't very good at playing games.